We need a real investigation. I don't think we have one yet.
Yes, it's true. And yes, it is a crime.
Well, thank you, Cleta Mitchell. Thank you for that explanation. Really interesting and kind of appalling.
Thank you,
really.
Tucker.
Cleta Mitchell is somebody with great courage, and she's involved with your litigation and lawsuits and all of this stuff. She literally gave up her whole practice not to get paid. She saw how corrupt it was, how disgusting it was, how dirty it was. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in this room and everybody in this country. You are a hell of a lawyer and tough. And that's what we need.
Hello, I'm Cleta Mitchell. Welcome to Who's Counting, our podcast from the Conservative Partnership Institute Election Integrity Network. It's about all things election integrity, how elections are supposed to work, how they sometimes don't work the way they're supposed to, and what we as citizens ought to know about elections and what we can do to make sure that elections are run properly and in accordance with applicable law. And we're very blessed today to have as our guest a wonderful state legislator from the state of Wisconsin, Janelle Branchen, and she is in charge of an ongoing review of the 2020 election in Wisconsin. There's a lot going on in Wisconsin, Janelle, and so we're so grateful that you would take time out of your very busy schedule to spend time educating us, telling us about what's going on and what needs to be done to make sure that elections in Wisconsin are run properly. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So Janelle, let's start with everybody a little bit about who you are and how a nice girl like you ended up involved in running these investigations about elections in Wisconsin. So tell us a little about your background.
So I've been a legislator for, this will be my eighth year. So 4 terms in the state assembly. I have a business with my husband for 25 years in Menomonee Falls. I have 2 kids, and I have to say that during the Obama administration, I ran for a county board seat because my business was dramatically changed by that administration. Was on a county board for 8 years and then ran to be in the assembly. And here we are a few years later dealing with elections in Wisconsin, which honestly, 2020 was the election year that we're still unraveling.
So Janelle, what kind of business do you and your husband have?
We have an advertising agency, and we actually enjoy working with each other, which I know some couples find funny, but no, I'm very blessed. And so we are grateful that, the lockdown was really hard on our business. And once again, we found ourselves, like many other people, many people in the state of Wisconsin found themselves having a hard time getting their unemployment under Governor Evers.
Oh, wow. Well, we hope that will begin to change. And some of these Democrat governors will find themselves unemployed soon. But but let's start with tell us about your committee in the Wisconsin Assembly and what it has to do with elections.
Sure. Campaigns and Elections, actually at the end of 2020, had a review and had in a lot of the people who were there on election day in Milwaukee in December. And we had this hearing, and boy, did it open up a lot of people's eyes. We have the central count in the city of Milwaukee, and what we heard from the people that were actually poll workers from the Republican Party, the very few of them from observers, we realized that things were kind of kittywampus. It was amazing. We had people say that they were not allowed access to certain parts of the counting room, that they had people being told they could cure ballots in the state of Wisconsin. If you send in an absentee ballot or you vote early, your ballot is put in an envelope and you need to sign it and you need to have a witness. You have to have an address from that witness. It's pretty simple stuff, but in Wisconsin, it's a privilege to vote early and it's a privilege to vote by mail. And if you don't make out your ballot accurately, it's not to be counted. And so the whole process of a curing ballot and having people actually in the room on their cell phones, curing ballots, looking up people's names.
For other people. Curing ballots for other people.
That are not in the room left us with all these questions. And then in December of 2020, we went a little further And we had some clerks actually say, open records request us, from the clerk from the city of Green Bay. Chris Teske said, you're not going to believe it. Open record request it. So Representative Tussler and Representative Shade Sortwell started this process. And when you make a request for open records in December, that means you get them in February.
And that's faster than trying to get one from the federal government and the Biden administration, let me tell you.
So it's February and we get 10,000 records. And I sit down on Valentine's Day and start reading through them. And I mean, we were flabbergasted.
What are some of the things that you found when you started reading those records?
We had a
just from Green Bay, right?
This is the city of Green Bay.
Okay.
Between the clerk, between a group that we hadn't heard of before, CTCL, National Vote at Home, a couple of nonprofit data companies, the mayor's office, and the clerk's office. And it was an incredible story of a clerk regularly saying, I'm very concerned that these people are interfering with the elections in Wisconsin. And then,
CTCL is a Center for Tech and Civic Life, and we'll return to them in a moment, but go ahead.
But from then, we went a little further, and this clerk, we now realize, left 2 weeks before the election.
Really?
So 2 weeks before the 2020 election, this clerk that asked us to open record request her information, she left.
The city of Green Bay. What did she do? She resigned?
She took family leave. She took family leave. And then we now realize that the deputy clerk was not in the counting room, the central counting room. And a third person was actually the one running the election in the city of Green Bay.
And who was that third person?
I can't remember her name at this point, but
not somebody who worked for the county, I mean, for the city.
She was appointed at the last minute to be in that, Jamie Fuge. She was the third person that was in line to be this clerk who was appointed by the mayor of Green Bay. So we see this long litany of emails from the chief clerk having concerns about why these people are coming to meetings. Is she in charge? She has a constitutional duty. She's very concerned about why they are coming up with a curing process. She's very concerned about why they get to pick the poll workers. Went so far as to actually change locations at the last minute for the central count facility itself. And we have emails from this gentleman by the name of Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. And he is obviously goes so far that he actually reaches out to the county clerk and asks if they're having problems running a certain type of machine. I mean, can you imagine? This is a guy who flew into Wisconsin from New York. So he really should have no ability to be inserting himself in the clerk's office. And he actually goes so far as to send a message to the county clerk about how one particular type of counting machine has been working for them.
Who is he?
Michael Spitzer Rubenstein is the lead partner for National Vote at Home, who has inserted himself into the clerk's office in Green Bay. He was given a tag that says he was an employee of the city of Green Bay. So we said, great, give us your financial records. And they said, oh, big mistake. You know, we just gave him a tag. Can you imagine, Cleta, if you or I gave somebody who was not an employee a tag to the city that said that you were a city employee?
So that you could have access to the city's counting and the whole election system.
I mean, is that amazing?
It's pretty amazing.
Gets worse.
Okay.
This gentleman, if you look at the contract, which was held at a Hyatt Hotel, the central count, his name is listed in all bold print, and it says, do not open the counting room until Michael Spitzer Rubenstein arrives with security at 6 a.m.
Wow.
So now it's on the contract, and we look further. The contract itself for negotiation says, again, on another document, the lead contact is Michael Spitzer Rubenstein with his cell phone number. to the hotel itself.
So the counting is taking place in Green Bay. The central counting is at the hotel. And this non-employee is listed as the primary contact on behalf of the clerk's office.
Yep. And he's given 4 out of 5 keys to the room itself with a message to say, don't open the room until this guy from New York, who's not an employee, and gets there on voting day. I mean, can you make this story up?
No, you cannot make this up. But of course, we know that Facebook and Twitter and YouTube would all say that what this is the big lie, that none of this happened, even though this is completely documented by their own.
We have all the documents. Yep. And if you go to my Rep Branchon page, you'll find all of these documents. We want to make sure that people have access to it. And there's a long litany of documents. So, you know,
we will have the link to your page so that people on our website, so anybody can go to www.whoscounting.us and they can link to your site and then all these documents and records. So this is in February that you're of 2021, that you are getting these records, you're reading this on Valentine's Day. When I was in the
legislature. Because that's what you do when you're in the assembly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I did. I will tell you, I was at my legislative office on Valentine's Day in whatever year that was. And I thought, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. So I prayed to God to send me a good husband. And the next day, my then husband called me. My now husband called me.
Well, that's a beautiful story.
I always tell him that he's my angel sent from God. And it's over 30 something years ago now. So, so you're reading all of this in February of 2021. And what did you do next?
Next thing we did is we said, we have to have a hearing and we're going to bring these documents to light. And so we had that hearing in about mid-March in 2021, and we exposed these documents. We gave them to the press. There's quite a few stories that were done. And the mayor from Green Bay calls me a circus of Stalin level. And we say, great, come on in and tell us what we have wrong here. Because although I only have a third of the information, I don't have the Zoom calls, I don't have the phone calls, I just have emails. I don't know how you can explain this away, but sure, come on in. And he says, great. And we never hear from his office again. And I say, how about May? How about the entire month? And from that point, he has never returned calls to my office again.
So he attacks you, and this is the mayor of Green Bay. And I have been reading about this group of 5 mayors, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison,
Kenosha, and Racine.
And Racine, that in those 5 cities that these mayors, tell everybody your understanding of what these mayors did and how it relates to what the information that you found in these records.
So as we go on, we realize that they call themselves the Wisconsin 5. They've made a logo. They talk about getting t-shirts. So we then go and open records, the other cities other than Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha, and Racine. And we realized early spring of 2020 that
it happened in early spring of 2020.
Yeah, okay. This was a beautiful plan. In 2020, they actually came to the mayor of Racine. And they said, hey, we have $100,000, or excuse me, we have $60,000, and we would like you to get the other 4 mayors on board, and we will all give them $10,000 if they decide that they want to at least look at these grants that we're offering. So I want you to put things in perspective. They are giving you money to these mayors, not personally, but to their cities, to say, would you at least consider taking these grants?
So the money's being paid to them just to review the possible receipt of more money?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever heard of a grant process?
No, I've never heard of a grant process like that. We're going to pay you to decide whether you want to get grants from us.
Right. And the grants are, you know, I'm ballparking here for each of the cities, but about $2 million each.
Each?
Mm-hmm. $10 million overall. And I'm ballparking 1.7 for one, right? And so these mayors then have Zoom calls and they decide, they go to their municipal counties and get a vote, and they have these contracts and they sign them. And in very small print at the bottom of the contract, as part of it says, hey, if you don't do what we want you to, we can pull the money back.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there's clawbacks in a contract that you have now taken for the money. So I believe that many of these municipalities really believed that if they weren't working together, that they could lose the money, right? Because you want to make sure that you keep your benefactor happy here, right?
Right, right.
So they go forward. They spend most of the money on machines, on new machines themselves, mostly ES&S. I think Green Bay might have bought Dominion, and they now have opened the doors, and they have about 14 different nonprofits have access to the clerk's office as far as getting poll workers and having, and we have now a term called a voting navigator. Do you know what a voting navigator is?
Never heard of it.
You know, it's amazing. We don't have that in statute in the state of Wisconsin. So we've made up a new term for people to be able to go and take the information of the voting lists and, I guess, get out the vote, right?
Right. And that's so, that's really what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. You know, there's that old saying from the bank robber, from Jesse James. They would say, hey, why do you go rob banks? And he would say, that's where the money is, right?
Right, right.
So we're now in the process of saying, hey, if you want to be function in elections, where would you go? You'd go to the clerk's office because that's where the ballots are, right?
And but they didn't go to every clerk's office. They went to five key clerk's offices. And what made those particular clerk's offices unique?
You're going to find this shocking, but they were all Democrat offices.
Oh, really? They were all Democrat offices. Oh, my. How surprising. Okay.
Yeah. So here you have a situation where you have money coming into the clerk's office, and many of the Democrat clerks in Madison and Milwaukee, Racine, at Kenosha. But the clerk in Green Bay, she sees this go on and on, and you can see this in our emails. She becomes desperate. She is basically saying, who's in charge here? These people from New York don't seem to understand our Wisconsin laws. You know, I understand what the mayor has requests, but I have a constitutional duty here. I wash my hands of this. They start, not only are they in the clerk's office and getting access, but they start doing advertising, and they're doing advertising through the municipality for only certain groups. You're going to find that shocking again, Cleta. Only certain groups are getting that access. And that goes to Latinx, persons of color. They actually use that term. They are reaching out to felons that could be voting. They're reaching out to the Hispanic community. So they are using all these different groups to make and do advertising to not reach out to all voters, but only a specific type of voter.
And they're using this private money, but it's flowing through a government agency.
You are correct.
And it is not targeting, it is not universal to all voters, but it is only targeting voters that they think are going to vote Democrat.
I think that's the best way to sum it up. Yeah.
Yeah. That, to me, that's one of the most troubling aspects of all of this, is the fact that, in reality, they turned the election offices that are supposed to administer the laws in administer the election in accordance with the law, and instead they ignored the law, but they turned them into like a Democratic Party machine instead of election offices.
Well, then they went a little bit further. So as we went through more of these emails, we realize that this Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, at least in Milwaukee, that I can show, he starts building a database. And he reaches out to the IT department in the city of Milwaukee and gets the census information, the census tract, uses the voter database that's been accessible to him, and he starts building a system that allows them to have a real-time plan of what ballots are outstanding, what ballots are, they work through USPS to see when the mail is coming in, and go so far as to reach out to the clerk of Milwaukee and say, hey, can I just have access to your database? Because that way, every night, we'll be able to know what ballots are outstanding. She says, you know, that's too far. And a couple weeks later, he says, no problem. We found, we have a friendly vendor and we have access now.
Do you know who that is?
We still do not. There were a couple vendors that were actually, again, this is millions of dollars of people using the census information and the other information provided by the city of Milwaukee's IT department, as well as the clerk's department, to build something for really one group, right? And so we actually have the program itself, and it shows every ward by neighborhood who voted how, and it would allow them to use their, quote, voting navigators to go and harvest ballots. They could have signed people up. So they've now built this incredible database. Michael Spitzer Rubenstein was just not a coordinator. He was a data expert. And so building this real-time system and then the clerk providing this information from the city of Milwaukee every night about what ballots were outstanding was an incredible benefit to these Democrat operatives.
So is this something that they then made available to the Republican Party or to President Trump's campaign or to anybody other than this guy from New York?
Well, and his group. Again, the software company that built this is all another nonprofit that helped them build this. They goes through Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. We have this version and that version, and we need this data thread. I mean, it was weeks building this. This was not a 10-minute process by any means. But no, if the Republican Party had asked for that information from the city of Milwaukee as far as outstanding ballots, we would have been charged for that. But you
Oh, I see. So they had access to all of this, but they didn't have to pay for it.
Not that I can tell.
Wow. And you know what? It would be interesting. Have you done a list of the different of all those different entities that sort of swept into Wisconsin because of the CTCL money?
Oh, yeah. I have to give a huge shout out to the Thomas More Society. Eric Cardell has made a complaint against these five cities and recently made fraud charges against these five cities. And his complaint well lists out all of these different groups. I mean, it was a collaboration that would make any business blush. There was one group that would reach out to the Hispanic community and then do ads in Spanish. Another group that had the ability to reach out to felons and only do Facebook ads for felons who were either coming out of prison or had in the last couple months out of a correctional facility. It was everybody had a job. Poll workers would go through another group. It was a business plan. Everybody had a job. And they used the CTCL money to make sure that the different organizations were helped to be paid at a different level than regular poll workers.
So the representatives, let me see if I understand this. The representatives from these groups that had these jobs were actually hired by the municipalities?
They could be. There were some contracts.
But in other words, they were getting money from...
Of course.
They were getting CTCL money that had been given to one of those clerk's offices, and then that money in turn paid either as employees or as contractors, people from these groups.
Not only that, but any city employees that worked to be poll workers got extra money because the CTCL money was available as well. so they use their money for their own employees. I mean, it was just an incredible opportunity to infuse this money and use the clerk's office as a central place to gain Democrat votes.
So let me ask you another question. In terms of the census data, is that data that they made available for free? This whatever I don't know what office had that in Milwaukee or any other place, but is that something that they made available to anybody for free?
Well, you know, a lot of people go, Janelle, anybody can get that census information. Well, if that's true, why did they have to have a back and forth conversation in the emails that we found between the IT department in Milwaukee in what was given? And what they were looking for is they wanted to make sure that they had every street and made sure that they knew of every possible voter there could be by looking at these two lists, our poll books of sorts, you know, our voter list, and then using the census information. And they broke people down by color. So wow. It was white voters, Black voters, Hispanic voters. So not only does this chart show exactly how you voted, but what color voters did what based on your skin color.
Wow.
I mean, so this is, you know, this is the big question now that you're, I mean, it was an organizational level. When you look at the complaints, Eric Cardell, and that it is again at my reprehension, has the complaints, and they're 100 pages long because it breaks out each of these jobs and the emails that goes to those individuals and the work they were doing. You just a brilliant job of laying it out as a lawyer. But this becomes the issue when people say, well, what legislation and what are you going to do? We need to make fundamental changes compared to cosmetic changes, right? Mm-hmm. This is not just about making sure CTCL doesn't get to deposit money into just Democrat strongholds. This is the data and the information completely changes the state of Wisconsin from a sleepy Democrat win to now a state that's in play. And we need to get up to speed for the kind of data that we now know they built, right?
Right. And of course, I guess the legislature passed a bill to ban the Zuckerbucks, but the governor vetoed it. So are you seeing now in 2021 and 2022 that money coming back in to Wisconsin?
They won. I mean, why wouldn't they do the same things under the same auspice? And, you know, this is the problem. This becomes incredibly dangerous, right? Cleta, this now means that every office, municipal office, 1,900 offices in the state of Wisconsin is out to bid, right? Because right. If I sign a contract, there's a quid pro quo that I get to be somewhat involved in your office. It puts the clerks, the constitutional officers, in that tough position of, do you answer what your mayor wants, or do you do what you know your constitutional duty is? We do have a whistleblower bill or two that we're offering, because what a tough spot for clerks.
Right. Well, that clerk in Green Bay should get some kind of courage award. You know, it can't be easy for her to have come forward as she did, but it really is what lit the fuse for you to be able to start looking at all of that, even though you didn't have to do all that on Valentine's Day. But I've read the administrative complaint that Eric Cardell filed with the Wisconsin Election Commission. And I would be willing to bet that they didn't investigate. What did they do? What did the WEC do when that complaint was filed? Anything?
My concern was that they weren't going to take it up, Cleta, that right. They were just going to let it go and it would be 3 years later. They finally did say, we see no problems here.
They saw and no so problems from that complaint.
They found no problems from that complaint, which is okay, because that in the state of Wisconsin, you have to file a complaint with WEC before you can go to court. Right. So this allows Eric Cardell and the Thomas More Society, which has done hours and hours of really great work in Wisconsin, And I am really grateful to go forward. And they recently went one step further by they believe that the use of the advertising to get out the vote created a fraud situation for these five communities. And he filed again as fraud charges as well recently.
Wow. Can you explain what his allegation of fraud is? How did the advertisements or the theory about what those advertisements, how they were fraudulent?
Because they only went to certain groups and not to others, right?
Right.
And that in the state of Wisconsin, again, to vote early or to vote absentee is a privilege. And it's to be unsolicited. That you don't have the ability to just be badgered to vote. I mean, the concern is in the state of Wisconsin that you could, these voting navigators, since we don't know what they did they offer payment? Was their ability to solicit people till they finally acquiesced, right?
Well, you know, I did see something that was posted on Facebook where someone said that he or she had gone to an early voting location and had registered, gotten an absentee ballot application, gotten the ballot, voted, and plus got a long sleeve shirt on the way out. I'm thinking, hello, can you do that?
No, you can't. No food or items may be given on the state of Wisconsin. And so, yeah, that's a problem. That, you know, Wisconsin's one of the easiest places to vote. Right. You have 2 weeks, you know, request a ballot 6 weeks early. 2 weeks of early voting, 24 hours a day,
so
Saturdays to Sundays,
oh
right?
And then 3 a.m.? Don't tell me you have 3 a.m. voting.
Well, I mean, the city of Milwaukee, you're going to find those big cities, they're open, right?
Right.
And then, you know, on election day, if you have proof of residency or just your driver's license, you're good to go, which, you know, compared to New York, that's not possible, no,
that's
is it?
True. You know? No, it's not possible in New York. It's pretty
so, you know, I love it when people go, oh, it's too hard to vote in Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness. We are probably one of the easiest states to vote in, and that you can just show up with your driver's license on election day, register and vote is, I think we're only one of three states that do that.
So, Janelle, has your committee issued a report about the what did you call them, the Gang of Five or the Wisconsin Five? Just a finite report just about that, or how would people go find more information about this?
Well, luckily, we've had a lot of really good groups go through the information that we have. Will, Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, has done a multi-page report, and they've gone through a couple of things. I think it's about 70 or 80 pages.
Right.
And then we also, in February and March, after hearing about the CTCL thing, our speaker, Robin Voss, did request that our audit bureau, which is not an investigative, there's a difference between an audit and an investigation, and they found about 38 different concerns that happened in 2020. And that has to do with ballot boxes. That has to do with the machines not having machines not being kept up to code for an error rate. We have quite a few issues with different municipalities. We're not following the same rules. The curing of the ballot, some clerks were doing one thing, clerks doing the other. So there were 38 different recommendations that came from the Wisconsin's Audit Bureau, and, you know, is really telling of the issues and concerns and misinformation that different clerks were working with.
Well, I've read the Will report, and I've read the Legislative Audit Bureau's report, which is, again, I mean, one of the things that I would maybe segue into another topic, but one of the things that the Legislative Audit Bureau's report showed was that the clerks were and the WEC were violating state law with regard to cleaning voter rolls.
Cleaning voter rolls. I think the worst thing in there is that we had 47,000 people who had not been verified got to vote in the state of Wisconsin. And I think those are in a state that was only won by 22,000 ballots.
Right. That's right.
Those are the type of things that, you know, it doesn't bring any confidence to the voting process. And like I say, you know, this comes back to fundamental changes. Are we going to make sure that our data and our systems can say who you are when you show up to vote? Or are we just going to do little cosmetic things around the edges to kind of put things, you know, make people feel that they've made better changes, knowing that I have a governor who obviously the Democrat governor did well under this 2020 voting plan.
Well, so let's talk about what are the various remedies. And I want to also ask you about the investigation that former Justice Gableman is conducting. But your committee has held a number of hearings even through the all fall and maybe even right now, I don't know, but you continue to conduct hearings. And what kind of response are you getting from your colleagues in the House and Senate?
Not as excited as I would like. We just actually had a hearing 2 weeks ago going through the data. So we have not been able to look at the machines. The machines themselves in the audit said, you know, the machines are as good as the clerks say they are, right? So that's not really an answer by any means. There has been some hand counting that was to bring more confidence in the process. And I think that helps to a point, but when you have almost 3 million ballots and you've hand counted 14,000, I don't know if that's exactly much. Yeah, that doesn't exactly give you the confidence they want. So we have not been able to get the information if the machines were hacked. We have not been able to get any programming on the machines, even though in the state of Wisconsin, they're to be preserved for 22 months. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Election Commission, has made a decision that they told clerks they could overwrite this information with the new versions. And I think that's what you've heard in multiple states.
It is.
It's very frustrating, and that does not bring confidence if it's Dominion or ES&S.
It really doesn't matter who manufactured the equipment. It just, if you are not following the statute and you're erasing evidence so that nobody can know what happened, I would think that would be disturbing to anybody, but it's particularly disturbing to those of us who think that elections ought to have integrity.
You can't see the ballots, the physical ballots themselves, even though they're going to be destroyed in 22 months.
And the reason for that, that's a decision of Megan Wolf and who's the administrator of the WEC, the Wisconsin Election Commission. That's her decision.
I have to say that the clerks are really uncomfortable with that process. And again, the law is very clear. 22 months, we get to see everything. And so now we realize that unless you're willing to go to court, you're not going to see these things. So we got to the one thing that I know we can look at, and that's our voter list. We own that. We sell it for an outrageous sum of, you're going to find this a deal, $12,500 in the state of Wisconsin if you want the voter list.
Wow.
We have dead voters and real voters, what I would consider somebody who has the ability as active and inactive in the state of Wisconsin. They're all merged together for a list of almost 7 million people. It's a bottom-up system, meaning 1,900 clerks make changes in it every day.
Wow.
It changes every day. It does not allow you to see how many ballots went out and how many ballots came back, because it only counts in-person ballots when they're returned.
Oh my gosh.
It only counts absentee ballots. So I have to say, if you wanted to build a system that changes every day, costs a fortune to see, merges dead people with live people, and if you want to know how some of the transactions happen, I've been told it would cost me $100,000 and we'd have to shut the system down for 5 weeks. So transparency is all about Wisconsin.
I would say. Oh, man. So you're right. If I buy the voter list on Monday, January 31st, and then in February, people are registering to vote, and I want an updated version at the end of February, I have to pay another $12,000?
Yeah, $12,500. Actually, the Democrat groups came through and bought it 38 times. They spent $500,000 in Wisconsin in 2020. So that should give you an idea of how much data they were going through and managing and looking at.
Wow. And then, of course, then having the overlay and having access. That's what you're saying, is that they were getting access directly from the city of Milwaukee when anybody else would have had to pay for all those updates every night.
I cannot prove that they paid any money other than the $2 million they were given. Which, again, if you don't do what we say, we could claw it back, right?
Right. And one of the things that maybe they were supposed to do was make data available on an ongoing basis at no extra charge. But
well, I'll tell you one thing. Michael Spitzer Rubenstein knew the IT department, the clerk's department, and quite a few other departments.
Wow. In terms of the voter rolls, and I did see in several of the reports, the Will report and the LAV report, a lot of criticism of the clerks for failure to comply with the state laws on list maintenance and making sure that the lists are upgraded and updated on an ongoing basis. What other things have you found with regard to the voter rolls and in your committee's work?
Yeah, well, luckily I got to give again a huge, I've had angels help me with this work, be it Thomas Moore, but Jay Valentine actually has bought the list a couple of times. And he's one of the founders that has done a lot with data management as far as finding people to make sure that they could fly in the TSA list, on eBay to make kind of a fraud detection of people that say they're selling things and then disappear. So mm-hmm. they have a lot of experience in it. Matter of fact, he's made quite a fortune doing that. And so he went through some of the information we have, and they found some kind of crazy stuff. So in the state of Wisconsin, we have over 500,000 people that have a registration date of 1918, which would put them as, I don't mean to brag, but the state of Wisconsin has a lot of 100-year-old people, so these winters are really helping us out. What's crazier is, and then we have found 147,000 people with the same voter number. We have found that we have people who are no longer registered to vote, but did vote in 2020. So how can they be a voter one day and not the next? Certainly people pass away, but so as we're going through this data and this information, we also realize that the system doesn't sequentially give your voter number one, I'm voter number two, voter number three. Instead, you're voter number 10, I'm voter number 20, voter number 40. So it's not sequential. It doesn't identify numbers. Some numbers are 9 digits. Some numbers are 8 digits. So how can you compare numbers? There's all kinds of mess that makes us pause and say, from what we see, people have got access to the system because things are not pre-programmed. A voter number could not be an apostrophe. So that means the system isn't locked and somebody is able to manage and shift information within the data rolls themselves. I mean, these are experts looking at the list going, hold on, we need to look at this. And I don't think what we're seeing in Wisconsin is probably much different than other states. And this goes to that fundamental, who is managing the data? Who has access? When do you have access? Because if you can mess with people's ability to vote or not, you may be able to add or subtract voters. And that, I'm not saying that we have clerks that are nefarious, but this is an age of security, right? People right. are being hacked. This is part of the reality of our systems. This has part of people's voter numbers or social security number, part of their social security number. Is there, and when I ask for the information, you tell me it's $100,000 and we have to shut down the system for 5 weeks. This is the reality of what I guess, again, as Republicans and conservatives to say, okay, who's managing this, right?
Right. Well, I don't think that we've looked under the hood in the same way that the left has. And this has been ongoing for many years, but certainly for at least a decade. There are a lot of entities that have been built up. You mentioned several of them that you've run across that had these contracts and their people might have been hired as employees. But a lot of those, they've been funded by left-wing billionaires like Pierre Omidyar, who was one of the eBay founders. He's given a lot of money to help create a bunch of these entities that are engaged in the election process. This Center for Civic Design, I read that in, at least in one of the reports that they were engaged in actually designing ballots that and circulars and that. And this is a left-wing group that they were developing the advertisements that were used, these groups were, and developing the design of the ballots and the absentee ballot applications. And I don't know, it's just, I think that Wisconsin probably is the worst in terms of that I've seen in terms of the how the Zuckerbucks money really got its tentacles into the offices. On the other hand, it may be, Janelle, that the reason that we think that Wisconsin is the worst is because of the work that you've done to find out the extent of what they were able to do. I don't know of any other state that has done the kind of extensive open records and research that you've done. So who knows? This could have happened in, all of you, but you know, you led the way, and then there's been a lot of effort.
A lot of help. I'm really grateful to a whole bunch of people that stepped up, if it's data experts, if people have done additional open records requests for folks. So we have gone so far as to, we have Patriot groups that have bought the lists, have gone through the lists, have identified people that they think might be illegal voters.
Really?
When I say illegal, are they not from Wisconsin?
Right.
Are they using the same name twice? Mm-hmm. Have they added themselves into somebody's house without even knowing by registering at a location? Right.
I guess somebody could register. If nobody's looking, somebody could just register at your house and you don't even know they're registered at your house.
Right. So if you have the old paper system where you would sign your name on the paper book, I could see my children, my husband, my mother-in-law, I could see them. Okay. Mm-hmm. But with these new digital books, you only get one name. You wouldn't know necessarily if somebody had registered. There's about 7 different ways that you could add yourself onto the voter list in this day of easily making copies and digital copies. Mm-hmm. We have fake driver's licenses, regular. I mean, this is part of the reality of the world we live in, right? Mm-hmm. So they have identified these individuals. And I'm going to tell you, they are real. Then they go and they ask to see the voter registration. They ask if that, they check and see if that's a real address, if that's a real name, is that a USPS authorized address? And that's where you see 30 voters at one home.
Wow.
Or you see somebody in an apartment that has apartment with 4 building that has 4 different units that has 80 people. So I'm going to tell you, Wisconsin, we are getting this down. I have Patriot groups that are looking at each individual, going so far as to ask the clerk for the registration of the individual. We are getting really close to saying, if you cheat Wisconsin and you add yourself to the list, that we're going to find you. And I think that goes back to the counties by block, mm-hmm. that you know who's on your voter list, right?
Right. And this is, you know, look, I mean, I'm a bit of a broken record on this, but this is one of the reasons that I think that we should have citizens groups that form these election integrity task forces.
Totally.
And that they are watching, that they're going into the election offices and they are watching, they're looking at the voter rolls, they're looking at the equipment, They're there for the logic and accuracy testing. They are checking to make sure that the statutes that govern the voting systems are being adhered to, that they are engaged in protecting vulnerable voters. We saw that situation in Racine, where the Racine County Sheriff did that investigation and discovered that, yes, there were people who were basically casting ballots for elderly people, really without the elderly person even really knowing that that was happening.
So think about that facility. Usually 0 to 3 ballots came out. It's a facility that people are usually near the end of their lives, right?
Right.
0 to 3. So there's 40 beds in that facility. So if there's 40 beds, that would mean how many ballots, Cleta, do you think?
Well, probably at least 40 or maybe
no,
10.
No, it's 80. 15.
It's
nope,
80.
80 ballots. Oh. For a facility, because everybody might make a mistake twice. So the clerk gave them 80 ballots for a facility that was 0 to 3. And so, yes, I guess we always figured somebody else was going to do this, right?
Right.
If we want to save our country, you are going to have to be part of the solution.
You know, that's what I've been saying to people who say, well, it was hacked or it was China. I just say, if you're looking for a silver bullet, go look in the mirror. We are the silver bullet. We have to be about this business, because you can't, you're a state legislator. As you say, you've had so much help in finding these problems and identifying and documenting. And I just am a broken record. I just say download the Citizen's Guide to Building Election Integrity Infrastructure. Learn how to start a local task force. Be at the election offices. But I will tell you, and you can get that by going to our website, www.whoscounting.us. But I will tell you one of the things I worry about. Well, I don't worry about it. It's happening. The left is beginning this narrative that our engagement in the election offices to try to oversee the things that the left has been doing in the election offices, that somehow we're a danger. We're, quote, a danger to democracy. First of all, this is a republic. This is not a democracy. This is a republic. And we're not a danger. We're fulfilling these statutory roles that for far too long, Republicans haven't filled the roles that are guaranteed under the laws of the states. They've been filling them. These election offices have been filling them with Democrats. I've seen that for years. It's driven me crazy for years. So now we're trying to claw our way into the system, but it does require a lot of work. It requires a lot of work.
Well, look, I mean, I think you and I have talked about Virginia.
Yeah.
With the fact that you have an equal amount of Republicans from top to bottom, Republicans, Democrats, equal amount of poll workers in every facility going through the poll books, remaking ballots. Right. And they went through, after years of not paying attention, they went through this process and said, time out. If we don't have equal amounts of Republicans and Democrats in these Democrat strongholds, then that's not an equal process. And Wisconsin has the same problem. Milwaukee and Madison, for years, I can tell you who the Republicans are, because they have to hide who they are or they will not be picked to be in those counting rooms. Until we get the muster, until we decide that we're going to make sure that we're in those counting rooms, I don't know how I can guarantee how the ballots will be counted, right?
Well, that's the name of my podcast and our website, Who's Counting? Because we have to be there. But, you know, this raises a question with me. I mean, there are Republicans. Aren't there at least 2 to 3 Republican members of the Wisconsin Election Commission? And where are they? Why are they not stomping their feet?
You know, a lot of this material, this is Wisconsin, right? A handshake, a look in the eye, the truth is the truth. When I start talking about the coordination that was done and reveal the emails and talk about, the Wisconsin Five and the amount of money and all the different reports that have said, listen, this probably swung about another 50 to 60,000 ballots for Biden. We've had people actually go through. I think it's just so hard for them to imagine that this could have happened in Wisconsin. And they're really slow to respond. I'm not going to kid you.
So how has your leadership in the legislature been? I know that you've been making this yeoman effort in the House. What's the state Senate doing? It's a Republican state Senate. What are they doing? Are they helping you? Are they helping you?
No, the Republican state Senate, again, has embraced drop boxes in the past and in the spring elections. And I know there's a lot of information that has happened now about drop boxes. What we saw in the videos in Pennsylvania, I know there are some videos about Milwaukee. I don't know if there's quite as damning, but the issue is this: if we're going to leave unmanned drop boxes and not think that people will take advantage of them and use that to ballot harvest, instead of just keeping the clerk's office, returning your ballot either by postal route or by handing it to the clerk. I mean, this goes back to hundreds of years of making sure that Jimmy Carter's report, right?
Right.
That you cannot stuff the ballot box.
Right. So I want to talk for just a moment about this. What is her name? Megan Wolf, who is the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. She's also the president of something called ERIC. Can you tell everybody, what is ERIC?
Sure. ERIC came to Wisconsin in 2015 and said, listen, Wisconsin, we can help you. We're going to be able to check other states that border you, Illinois, Michigan, and they'll be able to tell you if people are voting in Florida, in Wisconsin, if they're voting in Illinois, jumping the border in Wisconsin. So if you have double voters, we'll be able to use all of these states' information to check it. Well, when the LAB report was done this year for the 2020 election, which was almost a year later, in October of 2021,
right,
we still had not gotten all of the double voter information from the other states. How many DAs do you think a year later are going to pursue any double voters in Florida or Illinois or Wisconsin?
Right.
So what we were promised at that time, and I'm going to tell you, I did vote for it, but it was under a lot of hardship. It was not my first response. I was very concerned about the contract. So here we are, how many years later, due diligence. It's months after the election to years after the election when we get this double voting information. And from what I'm seeing from my patriots on the ground, that I'm seeing from Michigan voters who voted in Wisconsin, is far different numbers than what we have gotten from ERIC. So ERIC, you're right. The president this year is the president of the Wisconsin Election Committee, the administrator. She's the president of ERIC, and ERIC was founded by the same people who are CEIR, who didn't get money from CTCL, but directly from Zuckerberg, got $70 million. And then years ago, they also built ERIC. So
It's the same people.
Yeah, same
right.
people.
Right. And Soros was the original funder of ERIC. What does that tell us?
Well, and when we asked these questions, they were not honest with us. So, you know, now we have the system in 31 states.
Right.
And so I asked an open records request from Megan Wolf, what information are you sharing with other states? How often, what frequency, what exactly do you share? And I was told, you're going to find this hilarious. We can share it with 31 other states, but representative, it's a contract and we can't tell you.
Well, don't you spend state money to be part of ERIC?
We certainly do.
Well, I think we need to work on having an alternative to ERIC. That's going to be one of my 2022 projects. It might take a little while, but I think
ERIC was really transparent.
I think they're overpromised, and I think it is a subterfuge.
Well, 31 states, we're not allowed to know what the contract is, even though she's the president. And as you saw in that LAB report, there are like six things ERIC could do, but we were only doing one.
Right.
I mean, and this is the president of ERIC. She wasn't sure how to get the timing so we could take advantage of people who had died in other states to make sure that they got removed or marked in a different category in our own states. I mean, wow, how the president of ERIC in Wisconsin couldn't tell you the other four capabilities or five capabilities Eric could do.
Oh my gosh.
And Representative, you are so crazy to ask
for that. Why would you want that information? That's right. Why would you want that? Well, I think if you were going to say to people, here are the two or three things you would say people in Wisconsin should do, or what people who don't live in Wisconsin could do to help you and your efforts, just tell us how we can help.
Well, I think number one, being there on election day, right? Election day is not just about showing up and voting anymore. I need a couple hours. If you're a night owl, awesome. Being a poll worker at night, it's going to take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Ask your clerk, how does your machine work? Ask to be there as they're doing the logic tests, right? Get involved in that sense. Bring your kids with you on election day. Have that ability to be there and be a poll worker, be an observer. In the state of Wisconsin, you can be an observer anywhere from around the state. Make sure you ask your clerk about voting laws themselves. Get involved in a patriot group, right? And then I think we're going to have to make some tough decisions about making sure we support people that, like myself, I want to go through the data. We deserve to go through our voter lists and our voter rolls for the state of Wisconsin. It's going to require all hands on deck to make sure that we bring voter integrity back to it was. In the late 1800s, they made the decision to have that votes would be private, right?
That's right. Secret ballot, the Australian ballot.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have definitely made changes over the years. And this is that opportunity with data to make sure that one person, one vote, and we don't have folks that, are making up identities.
So, Janelle, is there anything else that you would say that you all are working on that we haven't talked about? I know you've just done so much. Is there anything else that you're working on that you want to talk about? And then I do want to ask you about this other investigation that is being led by former Justice Gableman and how that's working.
I think that, I'm really disappointed that we haven't been able to decipher the machines. Mm-hmm. I think that the voters, for the amount of money that they've spent and finally being told that the new machines do go online and they're turned on with a phone and they're managed remotely, right? I think that it's really been an insincere process. And I think that the clerks need to do a better job of making sure that people know exactly how these machines work and do more tests for them. There has to be more hand counting. There has to be more hand counting. We usually did 5% in our state, and that's pathetic, right?
That's not there needs to be a real audit process. And we've talked with Representative Seth Grove, whom I know, Representative Grove from Pennsylvania. And one of the major things in the bill that was passed by the Pennsylvania legislature, vetoed by their Democrat governor, is a whole new audit process that takes it out of the hands of the election offices and has real independent audits. And it's something that I think, and does it regularly. So having an audit isn't some
every
big
election.
Shocking fight. Every election.
Yeah. Every election. Build that confidence back for people.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And so people understand, not every machine counts the same, just like not every car runs the same.
Right.
Some of these machines run better, some run worse, some jam all the time. So
yeah,
for people to think that it's just all the same is silly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Justice Gableman and his investigation, I'm grateful he is looking and done a lot of subpoenas on a lot of the things that we have had hearings about and ask questions. He obviously is in a different position than I am, that he is a funded outside independent investigator, and his skill set is as an attorney is not mine. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a clerk. I don't play one in on television or real life. I am, a legislator. So I'm really grateful that he's been going through a lot of this information. Unfortunately, it's just taken so long, right, Cleta?
Yeah,
to backtrack and find all of this.
Very painstaking.
Started in June of this year and then didn't get funding till a little later. So, you know, it's been a long process, and what he actually comes out with his final report, I think that we'll all be looking forward for that as well.
So one last thing, I understand, speaking of Ms. Wolf, who is the administrator, the head bureaucrat, I would say, for the Wisconsin Election Commission, I understand that she decided to sue you and the Speaker of the House. And what is that about? What was that?
And Justice Gableman, yes. And she's trying to stop the investigation, yes. And that's in court, and I'm sure it will continue as we go forward.
Well, I hope that you get some decent judges. I'm always worried about judges in largely Democrat counties like Dane County, which is Madison, and Milwaukee, and those places. We don't. It's a whole topic to talk about another day, but sometimes the judiciary is so partisan that we don't really get true justice in the court system. But we'll be hoping that all of that goes away, and that the judges that the court system will allow these you to continue to come up with the factual evidence that you've already uncovered, and hopefully to allow Justice Gableman to finish his investigation and release his report. It's kind of shocking, actually, that the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission would oppose getting truth to the citizens. I don't get that, but it's
what do you got to hide?
Yeah,
What do you got to hide?
This is all, this is so important. Transparency is so important, and accountability. Transparency and accountability in elections. So, well, we really appreciate the time that you've spent here today with us, telling us about the issues and concerns about Wisconsin and what you're trying to do about it. You're a real patriot, Janelle, and I really admire all that you're doing and all that you have done and what I know you're going to continue to do. We want to help you any way that we can. So you call on the Election Integrity Network at the Conservative Partnership Institute, and Cleta Mitchell, you call us anytime. We can help you because you've got a lot of admirers and supporters around the country. And with that, I would thank you and thank our audience for listening, and join us again for another episode of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. And thank you all so much.
Thank you for listening to Who's Counting. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Conservative Partnership Institute's Election Integrity Network. It is filmed and recorded at CPI Studios in Washington, D.C. Help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend, and be sure to subscribe and to give us a good review. We need your word of mouth, because big tech can't be trusted and tries to cancel us daily. Help fight back by visiting whoscounting.us and sign up for this podcast, for our newsletter. Become part of the Election Integrity Network.